Welcome back to the deep dive. I want you to picture a scene for a second. You've got a gold miner, right, holding this bubbling beaker of acid.
Okay.
And next to him, there's a landscaper trying to rot out a huge tree stump. And right in the middle is a baker kneading pizza dough.
That sounds like the start of a very, very strange joke.
It does, doesn't it? But they all have one thing in common. They're all reaching for the exact same jar of white
Which
powder.
I'm guessing is what we're talking about today.
It is. We are talking about sodium metabisulfite. You might know it as E223.
And if you're snacking on, say, dried apricots or sipping some white wine right now,
You might be ingesting it as we speak, because this stuff is probably in your pantry.
it's one of the most common yet, chemically aggressive additives out there. It's a real chemical chameleon.
Chameleon is definitely the right word. I went through all the research you sent, the toxicity studies, FDA alerts, industrial guides, and honestly, my head is spinning. We use this to keep food fresh, but also to bleach cotton and pull gold out of a solution.
It lives right at that strange intersection of industrial solvent and food ingredient. And that's what makes the safety conversation so tricky.
Exactly. And we've got some new data today, some 2024 and 2025 studies on rats that point to something they call silent damage. That phrase really stuck with me.
It's pretty chilling.
But before we get into the biological stuff, we have to understand the chemical itself. What is this white powder?
Chemically speaking, it's an inorganic salt. The formula is NO2S2O5. In the jar, on the shelf, it's pretty boring. Just a stable white powder, maybe with a faint sulfur smell.
But it doesn't stay boring, right? That's the whole point.
No, that's the trick. Think of the powder as a kind of Trojan horse. It's a delivery system. We
Right.
don't really want the powder. We want what it releases.
Which happens when it gets wet.
When it gets wet, and more importantly, when it hits acid, like the acid in wine or the acid in your stomach, it has a chemical reaction. It breaks down and releases sulfur dioxide gas, SO2.
So a winemaker adding this powder is basically setting off a tiny controlled gas bomb in the barrel.
In a way, yes. And that sulfur dioxide gas is the real workhorse. You could call it a chemical guard dog.
A guard dog against what?
Microbes, wild yeast, bacteria. But its main job is fighting oxygen.
It's an antioxidant.
It is, but not in the healthy eat more blueberries way. It's a sacrificial antioxidant.
Yeah.
Oxygen wants to attack your wine or your fruit and turn it brown. The sulfite basically jumps in front of the bullet. It reacts with the oxygen so the food doesn't have to.
I also saw there's a potassium metabisulfite. Is that just a different brand?
It's the low sodium version, basically.
Okay.
Sodium one leaves behind sodium, which can be an issue for blood pressure.
And it can make things taste salty, I'd imagine.
Right. So winemakers often prefer the potassium version. But for big industrial uses, the sodium version E223 is cheaper and a bit more potent. It's king.
Okay, that's the food side. But let's go back to the gold miner. This is the part of the research where I actually said, whoa, out loud.
It's pretty wild chemistry. It's all about being what's called a reducing agent.
Okay, unpack that for me.
In mining, you often dissolve gold in this really nasty acid mix called aqua regia. The gold isn't solid anymore. It's just ions floating around. You can't see it.
Like salt dissolved in water.
Exactly. It's invisible. But when you pour sodium metabisulfite into that solution, it forces the gold ions to grab electrons. They're forced to become solid again.
So the powder makes gold just appear.
It precipitates out. It turns from an invisible ion back into solid gold dust that you can actually collect from the bottom of the tank.
That feels like straight up alchemy.
It's just powerful chemistry. And that same aggressive chemical nature is why it works on tree stumps.
Right, the tree stumps. This was the connection that just didn't compute for me. Gold, stumps, and then pizza dough. How does that work?
It's all about breaking bonds. Wood is hard because of a substance called lignin. It's a really tough polymer.
It's the structural glue.
Right. And if you put a high concentration of sodium metabisulfite on it chemically attacks that lignin.
Yeah.
It accelerates the rotting
Which is
process.
always the glue.
It makes the stump porous and soft so you can break it up. And believe it or not, that's almost exactly why we put it in crackers and pizza dough.
You're kidding.
No. In baking, it's called a dough relaxer.
A dough relaxer for stressed out dough.
Pretty much. Stressed dough is elastic dough. The gluten protein is held together by something called disulfide bonds. Think of them like tight little rubber bands.
Okay, so you try to roll out the dough and it just springs back.
Exactly. The gluten is too tight, so the sulfite comes in and it chemically snips those rubber bands.
Just like it attacks the lignin in the stump.
Yes, the dough relaxes, it becomes pliable, easy to roll out, and it holds its shape.
Wow.
Yeah.
Knowing that my cracker has been chemically relaxed by the same stuff that rots tree stumps is something.
It's efficient, but it's also why it's everywhere. It changes texture and it preserves color.
The anti-browning thing. This is why my dried apricots look like they're glowing orange.
Right. A truly natural dried apricot is brown like a raisin. That bright orange color is from a sulfite treatment to stop oxidation.
I saw a note about something called dry white for potatoes, too.
Yeah, that's a trade name. Fish and chip shops use it. You peel 100 pounds of potatoes, dip them in this solution, and they stay perfectly white for hours until you're ready to fry them.
And shrimp, too, right? To stop black spot.
Melanosis, yeah. It's a harmless enzyme reaction that makes the shells turn black after they're harvested. A quick sulfite dip keeps them looking pink and fresh for days.
So we're basically using this chemical to pause time, to make food look better than it is. But, and this is the big turn, we have to talk about the cost. Because if a chemical can rip gold out of acid and dissolve a tree stump, what is it doing inside us?
That is the multi-billion-dollar question. And funnily enough, the first person to find out the hard way might have been Pliny the Elder.
The Roman historian? No
The
way.
very same. 79 AD, the eruption of Mount Vesuvius.
I remember this story. He wasn't killed by the lava, was he?
No. The accounts say he collapsed and died from inhaling the fumes. Vesuvius was pumping out massive amounts of sulfur dioxide, the exact same gas E223 releases.
And Pliny was described as having, what was it?
Constitutionally weak airways.
So he was asthmatic.
Very likely. It's probably the first recorded case of a fatal sulfite sensitivity.
And now, fast forward 2,000 years, and the American Contact Dermatitis Society just named sulfites the allergen of the year for 2024.
It's a persistent problem. For most of us, our livers handle it just fine. But for about 3 to 10% of asthmatics, it's a real danger.
And it's worse for some than others.
Much worse if you're a steroid-dependent asthmatic. That's the highest risk group.
I want to get the mechanism here. Is it a true allergy, like a peanut allergy?
It's a little different. The leading theory is an inhalation reflex. So your stomach is full of acid, right? You eat a dried apricot loaded with E223, it hits your stomach acid.
And it releases the gas, the chemical guard dog.
Right. And that warm SO2 gas can travel up your esophagus. You essentially inhale it from the inside.
Whoa.
And when that gas hits the receptors in your bronchial tubes, they can panic and clamp down.
Bronchoconstriction, a full-blown asthma attack.
A severe, potentially life-threatening one. Yeah. It's like a tiny volcano erupting in your stomach.
That's terrifying, but that's a loud reaction. You know it's happening.
You do.
What I want to get into now is the quiet reaction, the toxicity. Because this new research from 2024 and 2025 isn't about allergies, it's about systemic damage.
And this is where the deep dive gets a bit more, well, concerning. These were studies on Worcester rats looking at chronic oral exposure.
So they were eating it, not inhaling it.
Correct. They were given doses of 100, 300, and 500 milligrams per kilogram of body weight for 28 days.
Okay, to be fair, 500 milligram is a very high dose.
It is. You're not getting that from a few glasses of wine. But in toxicology, you have to push the dose to find the body's breaking point.
And they found it.
They did. The failure was systemic. Let's start with the blood. At the high doses, they saw a big drop in red blood cells and platelets.
So anemia and clotting problem.
And then there's the liver.
I can't imagine it was happy.
It took a beating. They saw elevated liver enzymes, ALT, AST, ALP. Those are classic markers that mean liver cells are literally breaking open and dying. The histology confirmed it. Hepatocellular necrosis.
Cell death, actual liver cell death.
Yes. The body's filter was getting clogged. But the finding that really stands out, the one that got the most attention, was in the brain.
Which is so unexpected. You think of these things affecting the gut or the liver.
This study looked specifically at the hippocampus, which is critical for memory. And they found clear signs of neurodegeneration. Neurons were dying.
How? What was the mechanism?
They linked it to a significant drop in an enzyme called acetylcholinesterase. Let's just call it AT.
What does AT do?
AC is like the cleanup crew for your nerves. Your brain uses a chemical called acetylcholine to send a signal. Once the signal is sent, ACE sweeps it away so the nerve can reset.
And the sulfite got rid of the cleanup crew.
It inhibited it, yeah. So the acetylcholine just builds up, the nerves get overstimulated. It's a condition called excitotoxicity.
The neurons get excited to death.
That's a great way to put it, yes.
Okay, so we have a rat with anemia, liver necrosis, and dying brain cells in its memory center. But here's the twist in the study that I need you to explain.
The Y-maze test.
Yes. They put these brain-damaged rats in a maze to test their spatial memory. And what happened?
They pass.
They passed. with dying neurons.
No statistically significant difference between them and the healthy rats. Their memory, functionally, was intact.
How is that even possible?
This is the whole concept of silent damage. It's neuroplasticity. The brain is incredibly resilient. It has built-in redundancy. So even though cells in one region were dying, the remaining circuits compensated. They rerouted the signals.
So the rat behaved normally even while it was physically breaking down.
Correct.
That is somehow more frightening than if they'd just failed the test.
Why is that?
Because it means you can be getting sick without any symptoms. The damage is hidden until it's too late.
Precisely. You'd look at that rat and say, see, the additive is fine.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know about the liver damage or the dying neurons. It suggests our bodies can absorb a huge amount of silent injury before we ever feel sick.
It's masking the problem.
It is. And we're not exposed for just 28 days like these rats. We're exposed for decades.
Speaking of things masking a problem, we have to talk about the EpiPen paradox. This one felt like a cruel joke.
It is one of the great ironies in pharmacology.
Okay, so walk me through it. I'm having a severe allergic reaction. My throat is closing up. I need to use my EpiPen to save my life.
Right, you inject the epinephrine.
But what else is in that EpiPen vial with the life-saving drug?
Sodium metabisulfite.
The very thing I might be allergic to in the first place is in the antidote.
It has to be. Epinephrine is incredibly unstable. It oxidizes and turns brown and useless very quickly. To keep it stable on a pharmacy shelf for a year, you have to add a powerful antioxidant. And sulfites are the best at that job.
So what do you do? If you know you're sulfite sensitive, do you just not use it?
No, you absolutely use it. The medical consensus is clear. The risk of dying from anaphylaxis is immediate and certain if your airway closes. The risk from the small amount of sulfite in the pen is a possibility. But it's the lesser of two evils. You always choose breathing.
It's a terrible choice to have to make.
It is. But there's one area where this gets even murkier.
Mm-hmm.
And the FDA just put out a big warning about it.
The compounded drugs alert.
Exactly. These aren't your mass-produced drugs from Pfizer. These are drugs mixed by individual pharmacists for specific patients. And they don't always have the same labeling requirements.
And the warning was about eye drops, of all things.
Compounded ophthalmic drugs, yes. Yep. Patients were getting custom eye drops, and they were developing conjunctivitis, swollen eyelids, and in some cases, even respiratory failure.
From eye drops? How?
Your eyes are incredibly absorbent. A chemical you put in your eye gets into your bloodstream very, very fast. It bypasses the gut, but it hits the whole system.
And the patients had no idea the sulfites were in there.
That's the danger. A custom bottle might not have a big contained sulfites warning like a bottle of wine. So people who knew they were sensitive were accidentally poisoning themselves.
That's a huge regulatory blind spot.
A massive one. The FDA is essentially telling doctors and pharmacists.
Yeah.
You have to ask and you have to label. You can't make assumptions.
So let's try to pull all this together. We've gone from gold mines to tree stumps, from dying rat neurons to life-saving EpiPens. It feels like E223 is this incredibly powerful tool that we've just sprinkled over everything without thinking.
It is a power tool. And like any power tool, it's incredibly useful, but it's also dangerous if you don't respect it. We can't just ban it. Our food supply chain would have a meltdown from spoilage.
But it's not benign.
Far from it. It's a biologically active chemical.
So for someone listening to this, standing in the grocery store today, what's the actual takeaway?
First, just awareness. Read the labels. Look for E223, sodium metabisulfite, or just the word sulfites.
Uh-huh.
If you have asthma, this is non-negotiable.
And for the rest of us.
Be skeptical of perfection. Nature is supposed to decay. Uh-huh. If your dried fruit is glowing orange, if your potatoes are pure white, if your wine lasts for years, it's had chemical help. You're making a trade-off. Aesthetics for chemical exposure.
It's about that invisible workload on your body.
Exactly. Every time you eat this stuff, your liver and your kidneys are working to filter it out. They're amazing at it. But as the rat study shows, they do have a limit. And you might not feel the damage happening until you're already past it.
I can't shake that image of the rat in the maze, running it perfectly, looking totally fine, while its own brain is quietly degrading.
It is a haunting image, isn't it? It makes you ask, how much silent damage can we tolerate before we start showing symptoms?
And maybe the simplest question is the best one. If a chemical is strong enough to dissolve a tree stump, is it really all that surprising that it might be a little rough on your insides?
Not surprising at all.
Definitely something to chew on. Thanks for deep diving with us today.
See you next time.